Collaborative businesses are on the rise, and this is the Collaborative Business Podcast, a podcast that will help you find answers and provides useful insights to the best ways of working together in partnerships, alliances, and many other kind of business-to-business collaboration. Here's your host, Peter Simoons.
Hey, Happy New Year. It's already 2014. Well, that is the day that this episode goes live on the internet. It's already the second day of 2014. Time flies when you're having fun, and oh boy, what did go 2013 fast. It feels like yesterday that I only was preparing for the Camino to Santiago de Compostela, and now it's already a year later. I did not only walk to Santiago, but experienced many exciting developments personally and in my business, and one of them is, of course, the launch of this Collaborative Business Podcast last year. And now you're already listening to episode 6. In this episode, I'm talking to Bruce Dunselman of KLM, and we discuss alliances in the airline industry. And clearly, there is more to alliances in the airlines than we from the outside might see, or even suspect. And from a passenger perspective, there is certainly more to an alliance than we can see. Some of the dimensions are clearly different in this industry than we see in other industries, and landing rights, for instance, are elements that we will not see in any other industry, and that for airlines can mean that political elements play a role where governments get involved. You will hear Bruce Dunselman in this podcast explain how he learned that no alliance is the same. That sounds a little bit like we heard John Bell a few episodes ago say, "Have you seen one alliance? You have seen one alliance." Bruce also explains why executive support for strategic alliances is essential. And there is more alliances in airlines industry than just the airline-to-airline alliance. Also in sales and maintenance, partnerships are established. Now, without further ado, let's move into the conversation with Bruce Dunselman.
Hello, my name is Bruce Dunselman. I work for KLM Royal Dutch Airlines, based in Amstelveen, the Netherlands. I'm responsible for alliances and joint ventures for KLM. Alliances and joint ventures sounds like a huge package, and indeed it is. But it ranges from pure tactical cooperations with smaller partners to long-term strategic cooperations such as joint ventures with intercontinental carriers. Basically, we have a relatively small department, but our department is a spider in the web. For airline cooperation, coordinates and also initiates and explores cooperations with airline partners. I've been in the job for a good 2.5 years. And before I took this position, I've worked for KLM and for Air France KLM in Europe, the United States, Latin America and Asia in a number of general management and commercial positions.
Thank you, Bruce, for this introduction, and thank you for hosting me in your office here.
My pleasure.
Thank you. So, for 2.5 years in your job, and before that in other roles inside KLM, then when you look at a strategic alliance, it's relatively new from this perspective for you, being in the middle of alliances.
Right. I mean, KLM, of course, has a long tradition of alliances. We were basically, together with Northwest Airlines, the first architects of an alliance after the Open Skies Agreement between Holland and the United States. And basically, we were the first ones to start cooperating. And then this model, of course, has been fine-tuned over the years and also copied by pretty much every other airline and fine-tuned along the way.
Yeah. So, and then when you look at a strategic alliance, what is for you a strategic alliance?
A strategic alliance is basically how the company positions itself and its network with its partner. And why do we make an alliance? The other day I gave a presentation and IATA, and I did some research, of course, and I went through an IATA report. And there was a phrase, and I used that also in my presentation, where the customer wants to fly from anywhere to anywhere. And I really like that, and I kind of built my presentation around that quote, because obviously if a customer wants to fly from anywhere to anywhere, there's no airline who can do so. So you basically need partnerships to be able to offer as many choices to the customer as possible, specifically for airlines. Through an alliance partnership, you can basically connect the world. If you don't fly there yourself, your partner does it. You know, and through seamless connection, both in the air and on the ground, you can basically offer from anywhere to anywhere concept to your customers.
So there is more to strategic alliances for KLM and airline partners than we as customers see, where we obviously the first thing we see as a passenger is collecting points for the miles we make with your...
But that's not the essence of an alliance, if I may say so. Of course, collecting points is part of the modern airline world. Mm-hmm. It's not even modern. It's part of the airline world, because through the collection of points, there's a whole philosophy behind it where you build customer loyalty. But basically, alliances, you basically would like to make a big footprint in the world, and you cannot make that footprint on your own to cover the whole world. So basically, you need a partnership to be able to make that footprint, because basically the world is big. At the same time, it's getting smaller. People are more connected. The world's more accessible to everybody. And through partnerships, we like to provide that accessibility.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that airline alliances are different than alliances in other parts of the world? Last week, we've been together at an ASAP meeting. Yes. We've seen other type of alliance from other industries. Do you feel that your airline alliances are different, or are they similar?
I would say they're similar in many ways. And of course, they're very specific. Mm-hmm. As we saw in the conference, people are looking for partnerships in order to basically cover parts of the world which they are unable to cover by themselves, to basically increase their market presence, increase their market clout. And we do that also. The world is becoming so interconnected, and you cannot be everywhere.
No. It might be a difference that to some extent you are partnering with your competitors, where other companies might not necessarily do that?
No, we don't necessarily partner with competitors. We compete through alliances. The stronger you can make an alliance, and the more partners you find, the better. That really improves your competitive position.
Mm-hmm. But as an example, you mentioned the early Northwest alliance, which, if I recall history correctly, was before you started the alliance, was a competitor to you.
Yes, but at the same time, when neither company can make money, and that was kind of the history of flying to the United States, because basically what we fly point to point. So let's say, for instance, from Amsterdam to New York and from New York to Amsterdam. You need a network beyond Amsterdam, and you need a network beyond New York. And that's, I think, how this whole partnership got started. You know, we didn't have a carrier to transfer partners into the United States. Northwest didn't have a partner carrier to transfer passengers into Europe. And that's basically the importance of an alliance, is that you fly from point A to point B. The other airline takes over and then spreads them out, let's say, through Europe, through the United States, through Asia. It's basically the hub and the spoke system. Mm-hmm. Where basically you use each other's network, and you kind of make each network an extension of the other, being able to cover a big geographical area.
Yeah. So how do you select your partners to collaborate with? Is for instance, the geographical area one of the prime selection criteria?
It's a number of criteria. Geographical area, of course, is a very important factor. We constantly look at which areas we are not very well represented. If I take an example, you know, there are certain parts of Asia where we would like to see partners. Brazil, I mean, that's a huge, huge area where at this point in time, you see the economy is booming and you see that basically a high demand for passenger traffic. Africa is still booming. So we basically look at economic developments. We look to see what airlines are active in a certain geographical area. You know, is this an area where we can participate in, or will this lead to a bloodbath? So there's a lot of criteria that you take into consideration in order to ensure global coverage. And that's basically the objective of an alliance, to basically have your footprint in all major areas where basically we see where there is potential for partnerships.
And like we see with other companies, they often also look at the culture of their partner. Is that a relevant selection criterion for you?
Of course, you look at how people run an airline. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have product specifications, you have safety requirements, a whole range of activities. And then obviously, you know, there's a bit of a natural selection. There are a number of airlines where simply because of quality and safety, we would never partner with. So we basically look at companies that operate in the same league as we do in order to have a partnership.
Okay, understand. And then how do you organize it?
First, of course, you have to do a lot of homework. You really, there is, let's say you build a strategy, and basically we provide input, and the strategy is basically determined by the board of directors. And then we provide the guidelines, and we put it all in a big mixing bowl, and then a formula rolls out. Mm-hmm. And then basically on that, based on that formula, we start to work. So it's part of a long-term strategic plan, and alliances forms a key component of this company long-term strategic plan. And that's where we come in.
Yeah. Is there a specific alliance you've been involved in that you would like to share that was for you the best learning experience?
I'm involved in alliance with an African, big African carrier.
Yeah.
And then basically what you learn quickly is no alliance is the same. And also with the times I've spent abroad, I think the key to make an alliance successful is to understand in which culture people and an organization operate in. You cannot just transfer, let's say, the Dutch way of doing business and think that people in the other parts of the world understand how you do business. It takes a lot of relationship building. It takes a lot of patience. It takes sensitivity. You really have to understand, and that, I guess that's with every way of doing business, you really have to understand your partner. You have to understand why they want to partner. Why do you want to partner? So you spend a lot of time in relationship building, relationship management, and then slowly but surely you start to make the steps forward, and don't expect that, you know, they move at the same pace. Maybe you don't move at the same pace. Maybe they don't move at the same pace. So there's a lot of giving and taking in order to get things done.
Mm-hmm. And giving and taking, it reminds me of another conversation I had last week where we saw that in general for non-airline companies, the whole process of, let's say, dating and getting together before you actually launch the alliance can take up to between 6 to 18 months.
Oh,
is
yeah.
That general,
yeah.
Is that the same for you?
It depends, but, you know, you have to, for one, both companies have to do a lot of homework, yeah. You know, and then and you have to make a difference between, let's say, a tactical partnership, because it's very easy to put everything in the basket of an alliance. You know, a tactical partnership fits the category alliance, but it's much more of a tactical nature. An alliance for us is more a long-term commitment. where you really start developing things together, where you really work on a relationship, build a network expansion. Yeah, and the alliance I'm talking about, there is a governance structure attached to it. There's a reporting structure, you know, and the big alliances, basically, you prepare for board meetings between the CEOs, because obviously an alliance, the way we describe an alliance is when it's of strategic importance, that means that basically board members are involved and they review the periodically review the progress of this cooperation model. And let's say a co-chair partnership from A to B with a small company is also an alliance, but it has a different dimension. It's more tactical in nature. Generally, you do that per season, but then both parties can decide whether it's still valid. And the airline world operates on a winter and a summer season. And at a certain point, if this alliance does not really bring the benefits, then basically you don't extend it. But let's say a more strategical alliance, you really make longer term plans, and that often goes together with a governance that goes together with long term commitment, and that goes together also with governing boards and reporting to the highest levels of the company, in order to inform the major stakeholders of the progress.
And so the 6 to 18 months, as I mentioned, that's very recognizable, or is it even short for you?
It all depends on let's say your partnership. Let's say certain alliances don't take that much time, because all of a sudden you have the same objective, you have the same idea, and you want to move forward better yesterday than today. And others, it also depends on size. You know, big airlines and versus a small airline, you have to build the trust. You have to make sure that, you know, you're not there to take over or to run their business. And we've been in both positions, being the big airline and being the small airline. It's kind of hard to put a certain timetable behind it. I think if you have a lot of common objectives, then you can move very quickly.
Yeah.
If you have very, or let's say if it takes time to agree on those objectives, then it takes longer, of course. Yeah.
And given the fact that you are, to a certain extent, you're representing our country abroad, does politics involve
absolutely play a role? Absolutely, especially when it comes to co-chairing, where you put your prefix, so you're not the flight number, but the prefix, so the KL code or whatever airline code there is. That's also related to the rights that you have to serve a country. So you cannot very well say, okay, certain company flies to a certain place, oh, then we'll just put the code on it. That doesn't work that way. You need to, it all depends what we call TCCS, third country co-chair. And basically, and unfortunately, Holland is quite liberal, but that doesn't necessarily mean that other countries will allow that.
So
we don't do that, but we're in the spider of the web. We have a special department who is involved in this. They will investigate whether we have the rights. If not, they request them, or they have to be negotiated. So it's not that easy. I mean, you take for granted that you see in let's say a timetable or in a system, KL flight numbers or whatever, airline flight numbers to the most outlandish places in the world. But there's a whole process behind that before you can even put your code to any place in the world.
Yeah. So from that perspective, there is an additional dimension in airline alliances compared to, for instance, a product marketing or a product
development
alliance.
Absolutely. And you know, there's, I mean, like I said, we are the spider in the web for airline cooperation, but there are so many departments within our organization and also, of course, within the alliance partner organization who are involved in that process. And especially if you're not part of the airline industry, then basically on the surface it seems very simple, but behind the scenes there's at the end of the day there There are hundreds of people involved in the process to make it all work.
And when you're not in the airline industry, you might make the same assumption as I did in the past. And that's why I'm posting the question to clarify that to the listener. I always thought that KLM was part of SkyTeam, period. That's it. That are all the alliances you have. But there is more to it than just the SkyTeam network.
You have
more alliances.
Yeah. Well, obviously, let's say the SkyTeam network is, and we have three world alliances. Eh? We have the Star Alliance that's basically led by Lufthansa and United with a whole range of airlines. Then we have One World that's largely British Airways and American. And then you have SkyTeam, Air France, KLM and Delta, Chinese partners. So every airline has just a whole series of other airlines, and those alliances have started to grow. And generally, you do make an alliance with people that are of the same gender, so to speak, are part of the same club.
Yeah.
I mean, we would, for instance, would not be able to make a strategic alliance with a partner that's not part of SkyTeam. I mean, we would basically, you would violate a number of rules. But you, slowly but surely, you see more flexibility in the three major alliances because, yeah, when these alliances were formed 10, 15 years ago, maybe even a bit longer, it was pretty straightforward. But then, of course, the dynamics in the airline industry have changed dramatically with the rise of the three major Gulf carriers with Turkish Airlines. So basically the model that was invented 15 to 20 years ago is starting to shift a little bit because the landscape has changed so dramatically compared to 20 years ago. So you start to see a little bit more shifting, people moving from one alliance to another because of mergers, because for a variety of reasons. So you see a little bit shift in alliances, and I think we will see a lot more in the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, I think the airline industry is going through some fundamental changes, and it's going very quickly today.
Yeah. So you already mentioned before that every alliance is different, but yeah, in this case, it also sounds like you're in a very dynamic corner of KLM at the moment.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's and anybody who works for an airline works with alliances. It's not just KLM. I think any alliance department in an airline industry is going through very dynamic times. And really, for us, and I would believe for pretty much any major airline, alliances are core business. I mean, we report to the deputy CEO of KLM, which clearly proves a strategic component to this discipline. It has full focus of the company and is really considered core business, just like punctuality, safety. I mean, it's one of the key drivers at this point in time, and it's expected to remain so. And it's a large part of our revenues are generated via partnerships, and this trend will also continue. We will continue to seek more partners and, you know, basically expand the partnerships that we already have. And in addition to the consolidation in the airline industry, it makes it even more important that you have solid partnerships.
Then another question comes to mind in listening to how you sketch the airline industry and the importance of alliances. Is it at all possible for an airliner to exist without alliances, or do you end up as a very special niche player?
I think there are some very small, there are some airlines who well, yes and no. I mean, we have, for instance, a number of small carriers who indeed will be able to succeed. The question is for how long. I think at a certain point they have to seek an alliance. On the other hand, you have somebody like Emirates who basically has so many planes on order, look for some alliances, but they have clearly stated that they will largely go at it alone. But that's pretty much the exception, I would imagine. But
and you yourself, you're in, you've grown up in KLM, I believe.
Yeah.
What was for you a moment that you realized that, that collaboration in alliance is essential for your business?
Well, basically, you already collaborate also in sales. You have an alliance with a major tour operator. You have an alliance with a major corporation where you have an agreement that you sell. That you sell your seats at a certain price because they can offer you a certain number of passengers. So basically, I mean, in this talk, we've briefly concentrated on alliances between airlines. But also in sales, you have alliances. You make production agreements, you make contracts with big suppliers. Yeah. That's also, of course, a form of an alliance. Without a contract with the right incentive, with a contract with the right incentives, you create loyalty from both sides, and that, in my opinion, is also part of an alliance.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, and that's whether it's for travel, whether it's for catering, whether it's, I mean, there's so many mini alliances, if you want to call it that way, within the alliance itself. But the job I'm responsible for now purely concentrates on cooperation between airlines. But obviously, within the company, there's pretty much every discipline works with another partner to be sell tickets, buy catering, do maintenance and engineering. I mean, it's one big alliance, interwoven concept.
Yeah. So there was clearly no moment where you felt, well, so far we've been doing it alone, we now on better do it together. Because as you sketch it, basically all of your career you've seen elements of collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. And let's say this part of my career, it's a different type of partnership that I'm working with than I was, for instance, when I was responsible for sales. But yet, also there were alliances between the airline and major suppliers.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting element because many people who are not in the airline industry will believe when you talk about airline and alliances, you talk about airline-to-airline alliances.
Right, right. But you also have airline-to trade, airline-to-corporate.
Yes.
You also have contracts with big corporate accounts. That's also the type of an alliance in order to create loyalty from, the corporate account to the airline and vice versa.
Now, what would be your number one recommendation for people or organizations entering into a collaboration or an alliance? And why?
Do your homework. You don't jump, and then I've read that in your podcasts as well. You don't jump into alliance blindfolded. You really have to do your homework. And both parties have to do their homework. Eh? You really have to study, why do I want this alliance? B, you have to really study all the specifics of your alliance partner, like they have to study yours. And then basically you have to start sewing it together, and it has to be a comfortable fit. It has to be a comfortable fit for everybody involved, and it has to add value. As soon as an alliance doesn't add value, then you might have something very significant on paper. But at the end of the day, and also in our business, alliances have to add value for both parties. You know, it basically has to have a positive impact on each company's bottom line.
Yeah. Well, you already referred to my writings, and I can't agree more. Thank you for that. So is there a specific business book or book about collaboration that you would recommend to the listener?
No, I thought about that. And it's, let's say, our business, of course, you know, you try to read as much as possible. It's not so much that I have a specific book where I say, now, this is the handbook. If you want to know something about alliances, read this book and that will be the magic recipe for all. I think what you need to do is, like I said before, you know, study your needs, study your alliance partnerships' needs, see where the similarities are, where the discrepancies are, find ways to solve any discrepancies. And do a lot of research. Research every aspect of your partnership, and don't go at it alone. You know, get as much information from all relevant stakeholders as possible. And that's basically within our discipline. You don't operate alone. It's not Bruce Dunselman who says, okay, let's go make an alliance with a certain airline. I mean, it's basically a whole iterative process, you know, where all stakeholders come together, come with conclusions, and then you start, and recommendations, and then you start moving forward. And constantly keep on refreshing, because basically, and it's not so much for airlines, but I think any type of alliance, the world is rapidly changing around you. So you, also during the process, nothing stays constant. So you constantly have to move with the times and the developments to make sure that you, basically keep the same pace with your internal and your external environment.
Yeah. So Bruce, almost nearing the end, where can people find more about you and your business?
Obviously, we have a very complete website, klm.com. Where all the ins and outs of the airline are listed, including financial performance. And for people who really want to go one or two steps further, obviously you have the annual reports, where it's described in very much detail what the airline does, where the future lies, and basically what the strategy is.
Okay, thank you. And is there anything you would like to share that we haven't touched upon yet?
No, I think we've covered it all. More important questions, have I answered your questions?
You certainly have.
It was a real pleasure. And it was a real pleasure to share some of my experience. It might be very industry specific.
Well, I think it is industry specific, but that also makes it very interesting, because not many people are really in the industry, but many people do see the industry. So it's very nice to see a little peek of 30 minutes into your industry and understand what makes it similar and what makes it different.
And I would think they would, even though it's very industry specific, I would almost think they would recognize a lot of things that I've mentioned that you can portray into your own individual business, just like the seminar we attended that we referred to earlier in this podcast. You know, even though you deal with people from a lot of different industries, you see a lot of similarities, even though your industry is not the same, but you see a lot of similarities, how things are being done, and then the dissimilarities, that's what you can learn from and the unique points.
I absolutely agree. All right. Thank you for your time and being my guest in the podcast.
Really appreciate the invitation, and I do hope that we will see each other again soon sometime. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Well, so far for the conversation with Bruce. I hope you liked it as much as I did when we conducted the interview. It clearly gave me some new insights into airline alliances. And as usual, you will find the show notes at simoons.com/episode6. And you know, I will appreciate it if you leave an iTunes review. And if you want to learn more about creating successful alliances, then check out the Alliance Mastery Academy at alliancemastery.com. The Alliance Mastery Academy is the place to learn about alliances and partnerships, where you can also collaborate with your peers, and you will find a library of relevant papers and books. And if that's all not yet enough, there will be special membership benefits too. So quickly hop over to alliancemastery.com to check it out. That's it for this episode. Bye for now. Till next time. Oh, are you still there? Next time will actually be next week, as this year I will move the Collaborative Business Podcast into a weekly podcast. So, see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Collaborative Business Podcast. For more insights about business collaboration, partnerships, and alliances, hop over to www.cmoons.com.